The Green Front with Betsy Rosenberg, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
What we've been doing, which is getting stranger and stranger by the day, surreality. If you turn on anything on television, not even Fox television, but I watch the Today Show most mornings as I'm cleaning up from breakfast. And yesterday they had Governor Rick Perry of Texas on talking about how devastating these fires are in his state. Worst fires, they're saying, in decades. It's just getting worse by the day. And that, of course, the result of so much drought, dry tinder, and it seems that the more Mother Nature is screaming at us, the more certain people who have their heels firmly in the sand and heads in the sand as well are just not going to admit ever that there might be something going on with our climate. Things might be out of balance, out of whack, that's causing all these extreme weather events, from hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, and yes, fires. We talk about it every week here, and there's also been a bit of a storm in Washington, D.C., and that is a good kind of storm, storm of activism, the kind we like to see outside the White House. Of course, I am talking about the two-week-long protest against the tar sands Keystone Project. We're going to get an update from 350.org, get some final numbers on how many people took part, both in person and online, by signing a petition, also how many arrests were made, and if that broke any records, perhaps. And mostly, where do we go from here? We'll be joined in a moment by Molly Haig. She is a communications coordinator in the U.S. for 350.org. That, of course, is Bill McKibben's great organization. Bill McKibben is resting after really organizing those protests. And as if he didn't have enough to do, there's going to be a big event that he's also spearheading, a worldwide event, coming up in just a couple of weeks here called Moving Planet. We're going to hear about that in a moment. But just want to first note that we had some news in Washington also on Friday with President Obama, our great green hope, passing the buck, punting, as they say, on some really key environmental legislation that would impact pollution from ozone. And lots of people are saying he's just dropping the ball too much, and environmentalists cannot support him in the next election, 2012, because he is not keeping his campaign promises. And we'll be hearing more about that and how environmentalists, among other special interest group — I always call environmentalists a very special interest group, it has the interest of everyone at heart, and that is our interest and desire to have a habitable place to live on this one planet we call home, and that is Earth, and what's happening to Mother Earth, what we're doing to it, and what we better stop doing if we are, in fact, going to turn things around. Would like to now welcome Molly Haig with 350.org to the Green Front. Thanks for joining me, Molly.
Thanks for having me.
It seems like there's a real, you know, combination of events happening, a perfect storm, if you will, both from the weather perspective, also political, and mostly, you know, it all comes together when we're talking about our environment. And it is our environment, and our environment is under attack, it seems, really mostly from humans, but also some politicians who would have us believe that we not only have no environmental problems, but we could shut down the EPA, throw away the key, and just watch Texas burn. It is kind of a surreal moment, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, I think it's hugely surreal, and I think for a lot of people across the world, this has been a real wake-up summer, if you will. The last 6 months with Obama's decision on ozone, with the Keystone XL pipeline, with this perfect storm of crazy weather and news outlets declaring the new normal. I think a lot of people are sort of waking up and want to get involved who haven't been before. So from the faith community, National Organization of Women, just across the board, new folks getting on board. And I think that these protests and Moving Planet coming up, we're going to be seeing more and more of that.
Now, there were thousands of people protesting. It seemed as one group got tired and went home, another group came in. They really kept replenishing the troops. And 350.org,
yeah,
even though it wasn't your official event, the tar sands protest, you had a lot to do with it. Bill McKibben had a lot to do with drawing people to that. And really the decision, you know, was made at some point that this is kind of, this keystone issue is kind of our cornerstone issue, that this is really a litmus test for President Obama, in large part because the decision is his. It's not, you know, as it usually is, going to get stuck in Congress.
Yeah, I mean, I think that President Obama on the election trail promised us that, you know, he was going to be the president that helped us end our addiction to oil, helped us end our addiction to the tyranny of oil. And this has been one decision. He's been able to point to a lot of other people to be the reason for roadblocks in the past, but this is one decision that's squarely on his shoulders.
And of course,
I think that makes it a really big moment for us.
And it's not over because the decision has not been made, and there will be more protests coming up in early October. The State Department had issued an environmental impact report saying no significant environmental impact from the tar sands, which is ridiculous on its face. So clearly things are not quite on the up and up.
I mean, you know, they aren't on the up and up, but there's something to be said, you know, when you have those moments where there's just, it's clearly just unreasonable. It's clearly ludicrous that a lot of new people are sort of stepping in. I think that the natural reaction to that, we all know, I mean, I was born and raised in Fairbanks, Alaska. We all know what pipelines mean. We all know that they leak. You know, we might not have people shooting at the pipeline like we do in Alaska on this particular pipeline, but they leak. They're made to leak, and the idea that there isn't going to be environmental impact is silly. And I think most Americans realize that. And I think that's going to make Moving Planet all the more powerful on September 24th. People want to do something. They think it's gone to a breaking point.
And we're going to mention that and talk about that in more depth in just a moment. But you mentioned you're from Alaska. You probably left there before the permanent frost started melting, the tundra starting to, you know, turn from ice to mush, and what that's doing to the landscape, not to mention just what you're seeing in decreasing ice up there, which, of course, weather-wise might not be a bad thing if you're talking about Alaska, but, of course, climate change is very much being felt in Alaska.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's not a political issue where I come from. The permafrost line moves north every year. The types of trees are changing. They're moving villages. The National Guard is there moving towns from one place to another. Republicans, Democrats, Tea Party members, it doesn't really matter in Alaska because we're all seeing it. So, I mean, it's interesting now being here in the North 48, being a part of 3UZ.org. We see new people coming on board really every day. I think just today, which is very exciting, 9 Nobel Peace Prize laureates actually called on Obama to stop the Keystone XL pipeline and said, you know, this is an issue of peace, this is an issue of humanity, and we need to move towards renewable, 100% clean and renewable energy.
That's very exciting news, hot off the press. Thank you for sharing it with us. And you said Desmond Tutu was among those 9?
Yeah, Archbishop Desmond Tutu and the Dalai Lama himself actually stood up to call on Obama to think about humanity before he makes this decision.
Well, that's dramatic. That's certainly worthy of press mention, and hopefully we'll get the mainstream media to cover that, because it did in the end cover the arrest, but it took a solid week and a half, really, before it started making, you know, major publications and the evening news. And the sheer number, I think, they could no longer ignore, especially as you know, the protests went into its second week.
Yeah, I mean, this continent, this century, the largest civil disobedience protest that we've ever seen. Literally 1,200 people, more than 1,200 people. The final count was 1,252 people put their bodies on the line and said, this is the moment when we need to actually do something. We had one volunteer who was a recent graduate of university who came all the way from Boston and came down. We had people from Alaska who came down, all 50 states. And over 600,000 people signed a petition to President Obama. So powerful.
And are you disappointed personally with President Obama? So many of us are, and yet, you know, we can imagine the pressure he's under from all angles, and can only hope that if he is reelected and look at the alternative, that he would use his second term, you know, as more of a legacy leader and really look at what he's not been able to attend to yet, and that is leading us in the transition to renewable energy and the green economy. And all the things that he has said on the campaign trail and during the BP oil spill are absolutely necessary, but seems to have been forgotten, you know, as so much bandwidth was taken up with health care reform and then the debt ceiling and who knows what next. But it's political gridlock in the meantime. So personally and politically and planetarily, you know, very disappointing and disturbing, and yet we just cannot continue to ignore what's happening.
Yeah, no, we cannot. I mean, personally, I worked on President Obama's campaign, and, you know, I think that there's been a moment where we feel like we sort of lost the man we worked for, you know, working 100 hours a week on his campaign. He fought for something. He had a vision of hope for the future, and he didn't just have a vision of hope. He was a fighter, and I think that at the end of that campaign, he told us that we needed to hold him to it, and that's what we're doing right now. I think that when he looks back at his legacy, he's going to appreciate what we're holding him to, and that deep down he knows that this is the right thing to do, and it's our job to lead the path ourselves from the ground up.
After all, he has two daughters he loves more than life, and any parent certainly cannot turn their back on what Mother Nature is trying to, it seems, communicate. I'm not going to say God is talking to us like Michelle Blackman, but I mean, if Mother Nature could speak, it would be in the form of, you know, all these frightening weather events. In fact, something just crossed my inbox saying that they're now offering new tourist packages for, you know, weather chasing. You know, you want to find out when the next big tornado is going to come through? Come with us. We'll take you to the tornado itself.
Check out new normal in person.
The new normal, yeah. And it, as I often say, it would be funny if it weren't so darn serious in terms of the consequences. So tell us now what 350.org is spearheading in the form of this upcoming Moving Planet event.
Yes, really exciting, actually, on September 24th. Hundreds of thousands of activists, grassroots activists from across the world are coming together, flexing literal muscle on bike rides from 5 hours to 350 hours, on bike rallies across the world calling for a fossil fuel-free world. And those are some words you haven't heard come up for a long time, but the tar sands protest with Daryl Hannah, with so many people standing up in the last couple of months, I think this is really a moment for us to stand up and talk about solutions to climate change at every level of government, and, you know, also an opportunity for elected officials to get in front of a constituency who wants to see this happen, who's engaged, who's ready, who's willing to put their own muscles on the line using fossil fuel-free transportation. It should be really exciting.
And Daryl Hannah being arrested made for a nice photo op, but it's also, you know, the likes of Dr. James Hansen, NASA's climate scientist, that is so dramatic, because this is a scientist being arrested. The man who early on, several decades ago, went to Congress, along with Al Gore earlier, to try to sound a warning, and he's now having to, it says a lot that he's having to be arrested outside the White House because he cannot get the attention that he and his fellow climate scientists deserve.
I mean, I think that it speaks to how little interest we have in science-based, how little interest Congress has in science-based solutions. And it's silly. And everyday people, we realize that. And what's really exciting about Moving Planet this year is the partnerships just across the spectrum, from business leaders to women's groups and human rights groups, from, you know, bike co-ops to public transportation advocates, just across the board, all sorts of people coming on board. And faith partnerships especially have just been overwhelming. We had one pastor in Minneapolis who actually went out and raised $7,000 to hire an organizer for his city by talking to his congregants one at a time.
Is this going to be another worldwide event, and how do you go about organizing such a massive undertaking?
It's a great question. It is a worldwide event. The 350-hour bike ride that I just mentioned is actually happening in Indonesia. They'll be riding their bicycles for 350 hours.
I hope that's
leading up to Moving Planet, which is very intense and very exciting. I'll probably be on a slightly longer ride, a slightly shorter ride myself that day.
Good for you.
For them.
I think you'll be needed as a communications coordinator. You need to tell us what's happening.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, how do you spark something like this? Really, you know, 350.org is, it's not just a membership organization. It's something that people aspire to who aren't necessarily a part of it. You know, we put out the call, but it's really individuals and communities across the world who say, you know, who want to see this, who believe in this so deeply that they work for it every day of the year. And when we tell them, you know, this is the moment, people really just rise up and do it themselves. They call their neighbors. They call their, you know, neighboring towns. We have, you know, a very skeletal crew here at 350. It's really the volunteers across the world that do it.
And last year, the big event was 10-10-10. How many people took part, and what were some of the highlights from that also worldwide, you know, protest or activism?
Yeah, I mean, it was probably one of the largest rallies to ever call for action on climate change. And we had thousands of events, I think upwards of 5,000 across the world last year. all sorts of highlights, people putting solar panels on houses, getting to work on community gardens. Recently, I was in Cincinnati doing a training for some of our organizers there, and they took me on a tour of the community garden that they had built last year on 10-10-10. Something really exciting about that event was that there's actual physical evidence of it this year as you go around community to community of new solar panels, new gardens, just across the world, which is really exciting.
And what's happening with the solar panels on the White House? Last I checked, President Obama had not yet made good on that promise, and that's the simple one.
We missed the deadline. And, you know, that was an easy one. You know, we see Michelle Obama out in her garden all the time getting her hands dirty with local kids in D.C., but we have yet to see President Obama rolling up his sleeves to get this one done himself. They sort of gave us a bit of a runaround, but at the end of the day, they still have not put solar panels up on the White House and have not led the charge in that way.
And that was, for anyone who may miss that, Bill McKibben was leading that charge as well with a walk down to the White House with a symbolic solar panel. I believe that might have been from the original one that President Reagan took off the White House.
Yeah, they actually brought the solar panels back.
Yeah, and so they've made it easy. They've said, you know, here, and there's, you know, how many solar companies would be vying for that job to put solar panels on the White House? Perhaps at no cost to taxpayers. I know Sungevity was bidding for that, and yet nothing has happened. And it's when we can't get simple stuff like that done, you know, even just the symbolic significance, it's pretty disturbing, isn't it? You have to wonder.
You know, I mean, there's just a real vacuum of leadership on the issue of climate change. You know, not only is there no action, but at that same time, we have people who actually deny it's happening, who refuse to look at the science, who refuse to look at the evidence, and are actually taking votes that climate change doesn't exist at all. I mean, that's how crazy this world we're living in is right now. And I think that's why you see these, you know, 9 Nobel Peace Prize laureates coming forward and calling on Obama, because it's so crazy that people from around the world want to stand up and do something about it. And bicycles, unicycles, kayaks, skateboards, September 24th, people are going to be coming out in force.
And I remember we had the president of the Maldive Islands on when the head of Sungevity, Danny Kennedy, was there putting solar panels on their roof, the presidential house, and they're, you know, going under, literally. And he had a great quote. He said, "Wake up, America. What is wrong with you?" And this is the president of an island nation saying, "What is wrong with you, America?"
Yeah.
It's hard to grasp and wonder where it will end, although it seems we must be on some kind of collision course between at least those who are running for the highest office in the land in this country, none of whom I think believe in climate change, and what the climate is trying to communicate, it would seem, in the form of weather events that are breaking records right and left. I mean, it's normal now to break records in terms of, you know, damage, destruction, death. Joplin, you know, they're probably still wondering what hit them. You know, that town was nearly leveled. Going back to Katrina 6 years ago, what will it take? What will it take to get people's attention, I wonder, mainstream Americans?
Well, okay. I mean, I think, you know, it's come to the point where we can't wait for Congress. We can't wait for deadlock to end. We can't wait for Obama to be, you know, our savior, our great green hope. I think it's come to the time when we need to roll up our sleeves and talk to our neighbors ourselves.
Absolutely.
You know, it's time to pressure our mayors, our city council members. One group of people in Frankfort, Kentucky, that was originally inspired by the Step It Up campaign, they actually went out and got their own EPA grant to lower their carbon footprint by 100,000 tons themselves, one person at a time in Frankfort, Kentucky.
And then was it Greensburg, Kansas, where they're rebuilding the whole town because of a tornado that came through 3-4 years ago? Planet Green was chronicling that in a television series. I mean, there's so many towns that have been, you know, hit. When you look at it, it looks almost like some of the scenes we saw coming out of Japan after the tsunami, after the earthquake. We're seeing it in this country now, though. So that's what's so vexing, you know. And, again, as we speak, Texas is burning up. And its governor, who would be president, does not think there's any connection to, you know, the changing meteorological landscape and climate change.
Embarrassing.
So it is. And I guess what it really says is activists need to step it up, and that's exactly why you're having back-to-back events like the tar sands protests, Moving Planet. By the way, I should mention next week we hope to have someone from the Climate Project, that is Al Gore's project that is now called the Climate Reality Project. Their big event is a 24-hour presentation of pretty much an update of Al Gore's fabulous slideshow that was, of course, the basis for An Inconvenient Truth. Also came out 6 years ago. We thought that would change everything. Not quite. So they're going to also be organizing a worldwide event that people can participate in. That's going to be September 14th through 15th. Again, hope to have someone from the project on next week on that. So how can people participate in the Moving Planet event September 24th, Molly?
Yeah, well, I would first say just a word to the Climate Reality Project that, you know, that's going to be a massive worldwide day of education, which we're all helping with. And then following that is the massive worldwide day of action with Moving Planet. And to find out more about it, you can go to moving-planet.org or 350.org. We've got a map that you can pull up, and you can just literally zoom into your city or type in your town, and we'll tell you the closest events to you all over the world.
And where did the name Moving Planet come from? I know Bill McKibben in his last book, I believe it was his last one, he spelled Earth, E-A-A-R-T-H, to signify that Earth as we have known it has already changed. Moving Planet, does that mean that things are shifting climatically?
Yeah,
or, that's what
yeah
I would
it
think.
Is that we're all literally going to be moving at the same time, hundreds of thousands of people using our muscles and fossil fuel-free transportation to symbolize the movement that we want to see on climate change. So from bikes, as I said, kayaks, unicycles, different events all across the world have different ways of doing it, but we're all going to be moving without fossil fuels for one day.
Mm-hmm. And if only we could get off fossil fuels, but what are we going to turn to? And I think what is perhaps most disturbing is we're wasting so much, you know, time, energy, resources, bandwidth just trying to convince, you know, the majority of Americans that we have, you know, a series of serious ecological challenges / crises we're facing to get on with the solutions, which are not so easy. And it's not a silver bullet. As Al Gore says, it's a bunch of buckshot. But we should have, you know, all hands on deck, you know, 24/7 looking at how we're going mm-hmm. to fuel our economy, our lives. And yet we're not able to do that when we can't get simple legislation passed, sending signals to industry that we need to revamp for the big transition. And, you know, we thought we had a president who understood the need to make this a priority. And so to not see that happen for whatever reason, and I'm sure it must be difficult. Can't be easy dealing with people who you know, are proud of the fact that they're ignoring science. And yet we can't just quite let him off the hook because we know he knows better.
Yeah, I mean, he knows better, and we know better. And I think we've gotten to a point where, you know, we should keep our eye on the federal side of things. We should keep calling on Obama because it's his choice and his choice alone at the end of the day on Keystone XL. But at a certain point, we have to take responsibility ourselves, and we have to look at our own communities and look at how many bike lanes we have and how we can call on our local mayors to fix that and city council members and start looking at the places where we have the ability to change things and get to work.
And that's where 350 comes in, 350.org. People can go to your website and find out how they can participate, even beyond this big event coming up, Moving Planet. You guys are there every day trying to organize mm-hmm. people. How many members do you have now, if you keep track of that?
I don't know the exact number. We have about 600,000 on our Facebook page at the moment, but
wow.
Many more than that across the world.
That's something, and it's spreading, and it is worldwide. So God bless you. God bless Bill McKibben and all the great work that he's doing. I understand he's pretty pooped out after he spent a couple of days in jail, didn't he, when he was arrested?
He was arrested on the first day of the Tar Sands Action protests, and everyone on that first day was kept for the weekend in jail.
Well, he's supposed to be speaking in San Francisco tomorrow at the Commonwealth Club. I'm hoping to be there. I'm hoping he'll be there, and he can tell us, you know, a little bit more about what it was like there. It, you know, just from the video and the slideshow presentations I've seen on YouTube, looks like it really was pretty moving and hard to ignore all those folks out there.
You know, and I would say the most powerful part, seeing those people arrested, so powerful, but the hundreds, if not thousands, of people on the other side of the fence from where they were getting arrested yelling thank you after every arrest was just one of the most powerful things you could be a part of.
And I guess there were so many people arrested that they really stopped doing more than just processing them, getting their information, and then releasing them, and I don't think there's any mm-hmm. consequences. But a few people, maybe they were trying to send a signal to keep Bill McKibben overnight.
Yeah, that was their goal. Their goal
it didn't work. It didn't work.
For
did
the rest
it?
Of the protesters, it takes a lot more than that when so much is on the line.
Yeah, and they probably just didn't have room for, you know, 1,200 protesters who were arrested there. So sometimes strength in numbers can absolutely make a difference. In fact, that's probably all that will work at this point to show that it's not just a few tree huggers. It's not just, you know, Al Gore, who is deeply concerned about what's going on with our planet, that it is, you know, average folks from scientists to actors to teachers to, you know, educators of all kinds. And, yes, the activists, you know, the activists who, you know, spend every day and night thinking about this. I that's why I love doing this show, is to interview people like you who are doing great work, and thank you for it. And hopefully the world's going to wake up, and sanity will prevail any day now, and we'll stop having to have this ridiculous discussion and debate, if it is that, about what's happening. And certainly anybody who does not want to believe science should not be allowed anywhere near the White House. And that's why we started America's Green Tea Party. We've been doing house parties for about a month, getting great results, just saying, because the government is clearly not leading us you know, out of the problem, it seems like we're getting more deeply entrenched, because business, corporate America certainly has special interests there to continue status quo. We really need to educate ourselves, and we need to all be ambassadors and let our friends who may not consider themselves to be environmentally, you know, active or even green-leaning, why this matters. And starting with, we say green solutions for your home, the house, to the White House. And the House refers to trying to support the Citizens Climate Lobby, which you're probably familiar with. They are saying cap and trade is dead, not feasible, but fee and dividend, that approach could work, and how people can get involved, lend their voices, even if they can't get to Washington, D.C. to march, they can, you know, do something. They can let their voices be heard. And that's what's important, to especially leading up, you know, we're getting up to about a year before the election. You know, if we get someone in there, a Tea Partier, for instance, who doesn't believe that climate change is a real threat, as bad as things are now, it can only, heaven forbid, imagine. It just can't happen. It just cannot happen.
Can't happen.
You agree. Okay, well, thanks so much for joining me, and good luck. We'll be following up with you after the Moving Planet event, September 24th.
Yeah, it was great being on, and thank you all so much for having me and for listening.
You're welcome. Maybe we'll put a link up on our website to the event, and you can put a link up to thegreenfront.com. I'm sure a lot of members, if not all of them, 350.org would like to know. Week in, week out, for 15 years, I've been covering the green scene even before anybody else was, because I think it's the most interesting beat there is out there. I think it's the most important area we could possibly focus on. So that's what I do. I hope you enjoy it. And if you'd like this show, please let me know. Send me an email at betsy@thegreenfront.com or give me a call on my cell phone. I'll give you my phone number, 415-717-4183. It is on my website, so it's not top secret. And my site is thegreenfront.com. All the segments are archived there. And if you want to go back and hear the interviews I did way back when Air America was on, from 2004 to 2007, go to ecotalk.net. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg. I'm not sure who we'll have with us when we come back, but getting that word during the break. So we'll be back in a few minutes. In the meantime, keep listening. This is The Green Front, your green radio connection.